and stories and happenings, you know, during that period. You go back up to the big leagues at age 32, it's like being on the Redskin over the hill gang. You're past your prime, and everybody knows it, but you know you're just as good as you ever were, but it's difficult to prove it on the field.
On the field, yeah. Right.
In your own mind, you're just as good, maybe better with all your experience, but it just doesn't seem to work out that way. And it's really difficult to remember the incidents. In fact, I guess they don't happen at that age as much as they did when I was younger and playing in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. There are lots of stories and things happened then that would make interesting news or items, but of course we're talking about the Boston wartime era.
I'd like to ask you about Boo Ferris. Now, he came up and started in with a bang. He pitched 22 consecutive scoreless innings at the start of his career, yeah. Which I think is still an American League record. Won 21 games that year, his rookie season. Now, what do you remember about Ferris, 45?
I remember the first game he pitched in Philadelphia. I think that he had, I don't remember the exact detail, but I remember one thing. If he had thrown one more ball, he'd have been out of the game, and it would have probably changed his entire career.
But he was about ready to be sent down.
No, he was about ready to be taken out of the ballgame.
Oh,
he had walked the bases full, as I recall it, and had three balls on the next hitter. And he struck him out and retired the side. They didn't score on him, and he went on to, I think he shut him out, and from there he pitched
just
all those.
Just a few more
right.
shots.
And I often thought about that. If he'd have thrown, I believe it was one more pitch and it was a ball, he'd have forced it to run, and I'm sure, Cronin would have taken him out. And he had problems, you know, with asthma. And he would have been a much better pitcher for a much longer period of time if he would not have had that problem.
How did it affect him? I mean, was he wheezing and gasping after a game or during a game?
Well, during a game, he had to take medication. And if these attacks would come on him during the ball game, he had a very difficult time, you know, breathing because, you know, the amount of energy and everything that it takes to pitch a ball game. And then if you have this handicap, it makes it much more difficult. Mm-hmm. But he had a lot of natural ability, not a great curveball, but a good live fastball. And good control. He developed very good control with it. And I don't know why his career was so short.
Well, he told me he hurt his arm in a night game in Cleveland in June of 47.
Is that right?
Pinpoint when it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What about Lou Finney? He's passed away now. So
you're telling
ago.
Me all these guys, you begin to worry me.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not trying to do that. Gee whiz. You're in the prime of life.
Well, there again, I think I am too, but it's hard to prove, you know, at this age.
No, I'm not trying to use scare tactics. You said that you hadn't kept up with some of these guys, so I'm just mentioning this.
I haven't, but this is all news to me, and I'm glad you're telling me.
Yeah.
I hate to hear the bad news, but.
No, you look like you're in the pink of condition. I'm not trying to suggest anything but.
Lou was, I believe he was from the South, wasn't he?
I don't know where he was from. I guess so.
He, as I remember him, I thought he was sort of a streaky player. He was really, really hot, or he'd go on bad streaks, and then Metkovich would take over at first place.
George Metkovich, yeah. Right. What kind of a guy was Metkovich?
George the Cat. He was I don't know if he was married at that time. I don't believe he was. I'm sure he wasn't. I hope he wasn't. And you can delete that if it turns out that he was. But he was quite
a ladies man.
California boy, good-looking guy, you know, and the ladies liked him. He was a very personable person. He nice to talk to, you know, and laughing, grinning all the time, happy-go-lucky, real nice guy, good ball player.
How about Tommy McBride? He was another Texan.
Yeah, Tom would get down on himself once in a while, as I recall it. He was a good ball player. He had a lot of ability, but he'd go in to get into a slump, and he had a real hard time. I think his mental attitude may have gotten down a little bit, too, and he would have a hard time getting out of it.
I see. How about Eddie Lake? He was another infielder in those clubs.
Yeah, Eddie was the bullet arm shortstop.
Oh, really?
Oh,
he had a good arm?
Good. He's as good as I've ever seen. In fact, when he went to Detroit, they toyed with the experiment out there of making a pitcher out of him. He could throw so hard. But I don't think his fastball was the type that helped a pitcher. In other words, it was straight. It wasn't a live fastball. It came in. It had no... It didn't rise or hop or jump around, and it didn't work out, but he used to... I used to warm up with him. And up to a certain point, I'd warm up with him, then I'd quit because he'd start to throw it hard, and your hand would swell up like a pumpkin, and I'd say, no more, Eddie, slow it down. But he had a terrific arm. Was fast, pretty good fielder, and for a shortstop, he could throw the ball as hard as anybody.
Mm-hmm. I could go on and on with more names, but is there anyone I haven't mentioned on those 44 and 45 Red Sox clubs that stands out in your mind?
Offhand, I don't... You've mentioned all the ones that really stood out in my mind, like Houston and Ferris, of course, Bobby Doerr, Wagner. The nucleus of any pennant-winning ball club, mm-hmm. if we could have kept them together. Mm-hmm. I think that was my last chance that I would ever have been in a World Series until the end of my career. That's something, of course, every major leaguer would like to be, would be playing in a World Series game or be in a series. Mm-hmm. But there just isn't room for everybody, you know.
Right. Do you have any comments on baseball during those days as opposed to today?
Well, I've been asked that question many times. And they say the modern-day ball players have improved, better equipment, better travel conditions, better this, better that. I don't know whether the ability is any better or as good or not. I don't see that many games. The only thing I can base it on is that I always thought that in the days that I was playing, the competition was much keener. We had, when I started, we had roughly 50 minor leagues in operation. And that was the source of the major league supply. And every spring training, you had two or three guys that had terrific years in the minor leagues breathing down your neck trying to get your job. And I don't know how many minor leagues are in operation now, maybe about a dozen at the most. Mm-hmm. And it's the old supply and demand. The replacements aren't there, I don't think. And they have more players in the major leagues now. So I don't know where they're getting all this talent to keep up with this major league standard that they have set. From colleges, they can't all come out of the minor leagues. They draft them. They have this free draft now,
right.
And they get them right out of college without the minor league experience that we used to have to get. So, as I said, I haven't seen enough major league games to really make a fair comparison. But I just question whether or not they have enough experience to develop into the type of major leaguer that they're really looking for when they first go up.
Uh-huh.
Too bad, but it was a wide open gambling town. I think.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, I don't know much about gambling except every little place you went in had dice games and roulette and all that. Fellas got to playing them a little bit.
Oh, really? Was a lot of money you lost?
No, we didn't have much money to lose or win, but it was a wide-open area for some reason. I don't know why. And the weather wasn't too bad. It was not like Florida or California, but it was sufficient.
I understand that one spring, I guess it was the spring of 44, there was a big snowstorm. It just swept across the country. And,
Wally Moses and Jimmy Dykes remember running through the snow. Does that stick in your mind at all?
I don't exactly remember it, but I remember a snowstorm after the season started 1 year, but that was before that, before the war. That was May Day in Chicago. We had banks in the ballpark 3 or 4 feet high all over the park. And it lasted 3 or 4 days, finally got rid of it. But I don't remember the snowstorm they're talking about.
Did you stay in a hotel?
There was a big hotel there. I don't remember the name of it, but might have been just French Lake or something.
Did you eat your meals together? Did the team eat the meals together in the hotel, or was it just a question of going into the dining room whenever you felt like it?
I imagine we ate mostly together. It was just a small town, and apparently we didn't go out to eat very often. We ate mostly together. It was maybe scattered, in and out. Not all at the same time, like a big train table.
A few of the other clubs did have training tables. A couple of the Phillies, Danny Murtaugh and Benny Culp, were telling me that if you didn't make meals on time, you went without.
In my career in baseball, never had a training table.
I see. Do you have any interesting stories about travel restrictions or food and gas rationing during the war? Any interesting stories about being bumped off trains or having to stand?
We had rough times. We never ate too hot on the trains. When we used to come out of Boston, it was rough coming out of there.
Where would you head from Boston? Down to New York, or?
Yeah, we generally came down to either New York or, well, we generally came into New York, but mm-hmm. I don't know exactly where we were heading. More than likely we were going to New York to play in there, but you had to stand up and hardly ever get anything to eat on the train. It was crowded. And we rode trains in those days that were, the old windows were wide open and the soot was flying, too. it wasn't very pleasant traveling in those days at all.
I see. I know that later on in your career you had a diabetic problem. Did you have this problem during the war years? Or is that
something? No, I apparently had 1945, it was something the matter with me. I didn't know what it was, but I went up for a checkup and they kept me in the hospital two or three, maybe a week, 10 days. But the doctor apparently didn't want to tell me or something, because I never did know what it was. I thought I had a kidney ailment or something, but apparently my later years when I did go down with diabetes when I was over the Phillies, 1950, they sent back to Illinois Masonic Hospital, and my sugar was very high in 1945.
I see. But they just didn't tell you what it was.
No, I couldn't. I know I had a club physician wouldn't even tell me. I didn't know whether it was sore at me or whether they thought I was too ignorant to comprehend or not, but maybe I would have been better off. I don't know. Taking better care of my diet, cut out a lot of things that contributed to diabetes.
Sure. Now, if I'm not mistaken, there was an article in Life magazine about the spring of '45 about the Phillies training camp, and there was a picture of you in there, and it said that you were training with the Phillies that year so that you could keep your defense down. Maryland. Tell me about that. What was the deal?
Well, it was I was working up to a defense plan up at Elkton, and then that wasn't too far from, I think the Phillies were training in Wilmington. So I just went up there and off time and worked out with them, and then joined the Cubs later on.
I see. In other words, you didn't have permission to go to Indiana for spring training.
Well, I don't think we went that. I don't know where the Cubs trained that year. I don't believe they went to French Lake. I don't think they went one time.
Oh, I see. In other words, they may have gone south in the spring of 45. Some clubs went north, and others went back.
They might have. I don't know where they went that spring, or whether they went anywhere. Maybe they went a little south, but they didn't go to California or anything.
I see. Go ahead.
I don't know why they wouldn't let me go to spring training. Maybe they it was a case of working in the plant and spring training up there to keep in shape, and then I could join the Cubs later and take my chances whether I was drafted or not.
Right. Is that what happened? I mean, the regular season?
Yeah, well, I went on out there, and then I was called in several times for well, I went in finally for a physical, and they accepted me. But then